I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time for Come and Talk It with your host, Michael Cargill, brought to you by Texas Law Shield. Over the last decade, Michael has championed and supported the rights of law-abiding Texans to own and use firearms. He is the owner of Central Texas Gunworks, a veteran of the United States Army, and has achieved national exposure in such prestigious media outlets such as Forbes Magazine, Fox Business News, CNN Money, AOL, BBC World News, Huffington Post, and the New York Times. Cargill vigorously defends lawful gun ownership in this country without regard to party politics. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
Good day, Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Let's praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. All right, so, you know, today we say goodbye to the good Aretha Franklin, I tell you, and I think we said goodbye enough because that was a 10-hour funeral. 10 hours. That's a lot. So we definitely said goodbye to the Queen this week. And also John McCain. He's a hero. He sacrificed a lot for this country. We had a chance to say goodbye to John McCain. Also, we say goodbye to the bad, like the idiot that shot himself on Facebook Live. You know, some people are kind of upset with me because they're like, Michael, you know, that's so insensitive. You know, you're just so insensitive. Like, oh, my God. You know, you are on Facebook Live. You put a gun to your head and you shoot yourself. You know what? Thank you for thinning the herd. Goodbye. C'est la vie. You just helped us out just a little bit. You know what? So if you're upset because I say we're thinning the herd, then you know what? That's too bad. You know, his mother should have had an abortion. Also, we say, you know, goodbye to that idiot that pointed a cell phone at an Uber driver. Who does that? So he runs this guy off the road. He jumps out of his car. He pulls out a cell phone and says, I got a gun. I'm going to shoot you. And he also sends text messages about it beforehand. And so this guy shoots the Uber driver, shoots him in the chest and kills him. And people are upset because I said, you know what? We're thinning the herd. Listen, people, there are times that you just have to sit and decide, you know, there are some people that should not be with the rest of society. We got to let them go. Just let them go. You know what? I'm sorry. It's this truth. You know, just let him go. Sometimes you just have to do that. So I'm sorry that you're upset with me. You know, don't send me any messages on Facebook. You know, don't send in little messages saying, you know, Michael, you need to take this post down. I don't take posts down. You don't like what I say? Then that's tough. Sorry. It stays up. It is what it is. We need to thin the herd. There's some people we need to release from society. They're not fit to sit with the rest of us. So we're going to talk about that. Going to talk about Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul, John McCain. Yeah, he was a hero. And I like the fact that John McCain, even on his dying bed, John McCain said, you know what, John, do you want the president to participate in your funeral? He was like, no, never. Ain't going to happen. I thought it was hilarious. You know, he stood strong. You know, even on his dying bed, his last breath, he was like, no, tell the idiot stay in D.C. You know, it is what it is. You know, but hey, he is my president. I do support him. I do support the president. I do also like John McCain and what he stood for as well. But these are just some things that we're going to talk about today. Also, inside the studio, we have some good friends of mine. Are you guys from UT?
Yeah, I went to UT. I met him. He was living nearby UT.
Tell him, what's your name?
I'm Dingo Boy.
Dingo Boy.
And I'm Robert Jordan.
Robert Jordan. And you guys have a podcast.
Yeah.
And it's called what?
Trigger Morning.
Trigger Morning. What is Trigger Morning all about?
Well,
I mean, it's not exactly a political show, but, am I not close enough? So not exactly a political show, but we're
talk,
just like...
Gotta talk dirty to the mic.
Oh, okay, okay, I'm sorry.
Get sexy with it.
We're sharing a mic here, so it's a little bit...
It's okay, we share everything.
Nice. We'll take that up later.
Yeah, we just kind of, you know, want to talk to people from all different walks of life, you know, maybe bring some people back to center. There's a lot of derangement syndrome going on, especially
the center?
In this.
What is a center? Well, what's left? What's right?
Willing to have a conversation.
Willing to talk.
Yeah, not even left and right. Like, I don't look at us as, you know, a right-wing podcast or anything. I look at us as just trying to reach out and talk to people.
Just reach out and touch someone.
Yeah, yep. I think we're trying to mix a little bit of the...
Like our president said, just grab him by the...
Yeah, just grab him. Reach out and grab him.
Yeah, because I say it, I'll get in trouble.
I think we're kind of trying to combine a little bit of the early morning radio show aesthetics where it's a lighthearted, silly program at its core, but also jumping on and talking, you know, about some serious issues, like what we did with you. We were having fun, but then we were also trying to solve world hunger and peace and the source of compassion in the world.
These guys had me on their podcast, and let me tell you, we solved the gun control issues.
Yeah, it's over. It's over.
Like,
we are posting it today. You guys can go check it out.
It took 2 hours. It was 3 hours. I don't even know how long
it was.
It was
like 2.5 hours of us just drinking and having a good time.
All I know is when I made it back to the office, I was in trouble. Everyone's calling me. The world had come to an end. My employees were texting me. My mother was texting me. My siblings were texting me. Everyone's texting me. The FBI, the ATF. Everyone's like, we need information from you right now. Where have you been? I disconnected myself from 2 hours. Chill, people.
Well, that's exactly kind of the feel we're going for, is just to come in and disconnect from, I think people just build so much of a political ego right now that we just want to have a place where people can come hang out, talk about things that they're serious about. Because I think ideas are kind of the new music in a sense, you know, because of the internet, genres, if you think of cultures of ideas as genres, we're kind of localized in a serious way. And the internet is completely open the floodgates, and so I just want to kind of jump in those waters and mix the genres up and hang out and talk to people without taking it so seriously.
So what are some of the topics you guys talk about besides guns?
Well, guns,
guns.
Sciences. Yeah, guns. I think in our first episode
you say
we're
guns
about...
I just get a hard on, but go
oh
ahead.
Yeah. So do we. It's okay. We talked about like quantum physics in the first episode
Okay,
45 minutes.
Now that'll put me
like
to sleep.
Yeah,
he can go on for hours.
Are you serious?
I studied chemical engineering, and I just really.
Can you make it sound sexy?
It is. I mean, at its core, it is.
You say core, I'm getting there.
They just ruin it in school. Like I talked to you a little bit about that.
Right, give me some quantum physics to make it sound sexy.
Well, okay, so putting me on the spot here. I would say that some of the most interesting things that are going on right now is, you know, in the probing into the actual fundamental nature of reality at its most deep core. Like when you're studying the things that are going on at the particle accelerators, and we're really discovering that even though you're sitting in front of me, you're really made up of a giant pile of probabilistically behaving particles.
Okay, we're done. Right? You made it. You did it.
All right,
okay.
You there?
Okay, you did it. I'm there.
I'm getting sweaty. I'm going to have to unbutton my shirt.
That's 100% okay, hanging right. out with this guy.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And this is your roommate as well.
Well,
No.
You guys are roommates?
No, but we just record there.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Now, and also we have inside the studio, step up to the mic,
Kyle Austin.
What's up, Kyle?
Nothing much. How's it going, Michael?
All right, tell people, what are you doing?
So right now I'm running for office, Texas House District 49.
State Representative. District 49.
And
who is your opponent?
Gina Hinojosa.
Yeah, we got to get rid of her.
Have her on, have a conversation. She doesn't want to talk to me.
Got to go.
Maybe we can get her on Facebook. Trigger Morning.
Trigger Morning, both of us at the same time.
Live debate.
Live debate, yeah.
All right, so you see what we're talking about. We got a lot to talk about. We're saying goodbye to Aretha Franklin, saying goodbye to John McCain. We're saying goodbye to the guy that shot himself on Facebook Live, and also the one who jumped out of his vehicle and said he pointed a cell phone at the Uber driver. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Folks, this is Doug Man Jones. And I get my gun news from Michael Cargill at Come and Talk It.
Making talk radio great again.
Somebody has to come out and tell it like it is.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
This is a man's world.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
That's right. We're talking about Aretha Franklin. We're saying goodbye. We're saying goodbye to John McCain, the Honorable John McCain, Senator. We're also saying goodbye to some idiots out there that took themselves out, like the one that did it on Facebook Live, the one that did it by way of an Uber driver, saying, you know, making little threats like that and pretty much getting the wrong vehicle, just cut off the wrong vehicle and jumped out of his vehicle with a cell phone in his hand, pointed the cell phone at the Uber driver, saying, "I got a gun. I'm going to shoot you." And the Uber driver, who happened to be a law enforcement officer in training or recently graduated from the police academy, pulled out his gun and stopped him, shot him right in the chest. And someone asked, you know, where's the crew? Where's everyone else? Well, you know, Zach is out of the country right now. He's actually in the UK on vacation. Must be nice. He's living it up, and he just registered to do a run. He's doing a 200-mile race.
Oh, man.
He's going to run for 200 miles.
He's doubling it this time?
Yeah, he just did his 100-mile race.
It's going to be 400 next time? What's
exactly.
going on here?
I was like, man, dude, I need to, you know, we need to do some domestic partnership stuff going on here, and I need to get some insurance going on here, because 200 miles, you're not going to make it. Oof. But, hey, we're there for him. Also, Janai is out of town right now. She's on vacation, living it up at some kind of national park somewhere. And I don't know where Felicia is. She's just MIA. So we just talk dirty about Felicia. She didn't call me, didn't text me, didn't say nothing. She just didn't show up. So I don't know what's going on. You know, millennials, you know, you just can't trust them every now and then. So, yeah, that's – and so we – but you know what? We have great standby people here today. So we have our podcast.
Woo-woo.
What's your name?
I'm Dingo Boy from Trigger Morning with my co-host here.
Robert Jordan.
All right, and it's called Trigger Morning. Why do you call it Trigger Morning?
It's a play on the words from Trigger Warning. And like I said, we're kind of imbuing a little bit of those early morning show aesthetics, so it can be, you know, lighthearted enough that we don't have to be super serious. And so it's a play on the two of them, you know, that we're going to wade into things that people are going to find offensive, and if they're angry all day, that they shouldn't listen to our show. But we're also getting to that morning show.
And so we first ran into each other at like UT, right?
No, I took your class.
Okay, you took the class.
Yeah, I took your class. It was superb. All right, I'll plug that all day as a customer. Excellent. Anyone that's listening, take his class. But we both actually took your class, and we may have seen each other. Did you go to the UT campus carry protests?
Oh, always. I'm always there.
We probably ran into each other there as well, but it was a while ago.
Okay. And someone asked, Donald said, what is a dingo boy?
Oh, a dingo boy?
Because I know what a dingleberry is, but what is a dingo boy?
That I don't know where it actually came from, other than that was my name during a D&D campaign once.
Okay. All right. So as long as, okay. All right. So inquire minds want to know. Now you know, Donald. I had no idea. All right. So so tell me a little bit about campus carry. So why do you think campus carry was so important to pass here in Texas?
Well, I think we've seen situations on campus, like there was that murder of that girl, I believe her name was Haruka.
Haruka and, Riser, and yeah, I was told never to ever say her name. They like, don't you ever say her name, Haruka Riser.
That's ridiculous.
Because you're a gun advocate?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So, apparently I'm not allowed to say her name.
Yeah, well.
Michael had the audacity to suggest Riser. That she may have been able to defend herself.
She would have been
able
to defend
herself.
Yeah,
well, that's what really angered the campus, the anti-Carrie crowd, Huka was Riser. That I saw. Well, no, I think that the, you know, because they're all about feminism there, and I just pointed out that I think that being able to carry your firearms is an inherently feminist thing, because there is a natural power differential between men and women when it comes to just the ability to enact physical violence. And so giving something that is a power equalizer is an inherently feminist tool to me, but they really don't like that angle because it creates that ego compromise where, you know, their two ideals are opposing each other. So
we just had something crazy happen Saturday morning yesterday where a guy actually shot a lady actually in the face at an Austin hotel. That happened really? Saturday morning. Yeah, so at some point, you know, ladies, everyone, you got to take your own personal safety in your own hands. Yes, a woman was shot in the face early Saturday morning in a North Austin hotel. And police say the suspect shooter is still at large. So they still haven't caught the guy. And there's a problem with crime here in Austin. Crime is actually increasing in Austin. The reason crime is increasing in Austin is because our police officers don't have a contract. So the fact that they don't have a contract, they're not working as hard. They're like saying, hey, I don't have a contract. You're not paying me, you know, to do enough for overtime, or I'm not getting overtime. which they depend on that. And also, by the way, you're not paying me when I write a ticket. You're not paying the police officers to go to court. So say, hey, so if I write someone a speeding ticket, I'm only going to get paid for like 15 minutes or whatever it is to go to court. And I sit there all day.
Yeah.
So why would I write a ticket, you know, and I'm not getting paid for it? So they're not enforcing a lot of things right now. So crime is actually increasing. Do you know that every Bitcoin ATM machine in South Austin has been robbed? Every single Bitcoin ATM machine in South Austin. Do you know that FBI, the federal authorities, are not investigating that because that's not a regular ATM?
Yeah. Huh.
It's not a regular ATM. So what's happening is the Austin Police Department are the ones that are tasked to investigate that. So that means no one's been caught. Do you know they're almost like at $1 million has been stolen from Bitcoin ATM machines in this state? Actually, over $1 million in the state of Texas have been stolen for Bitcoin ATM machines, and no one's been captured.
Do you have any idea how they're being robbed? Like, is
it's classic. They actually go in the middle of the day, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, pepper spray the employees, ooh, and then just crack open the machine.
Well, they better not try that at your store. No. I don't think.
So needless to say, the only place that has not been broken into is Central Texas Gunworks.
All right, is that a challenge out to the robbers right now?
Go for it. Make my day. I write names on my bullets, let me tell you. I have a little marker and I just scratch something on it.
Doesn't that
I wish
show
you
premeditation?
No, not at all. I wish you would. Please do. You're invited. Come on in. Pepper spray me.
But yeah, I guess going back to the campus carry for just a second, I've had incidents with like the homeless around there. After that horrific murder, they cracked down. They had like massive squads of like motorcycle police right after that. But for a long time, there was a church on the drag, mm-hmm, on Guadalupe, mm-hmm, where there would just be like 60 of them. Just, you could see them shooting up in broad, ooh, daylight. They got into bad batches of K2 and would just be walking around in circles. Mm-hmm. And then there's times when I'll be on campus until like 3 a.m. sometimes. And, you know, walking home from that in the middle of the night. Yeah, I don't know. I think we talked a little bit on your show about how I think the high school environment can be really damaging and keep people in kind of a suspended childhood. Because when I go there, they're like, everything will be safe. We're in school. I'm like, dude, I just got chased down the street with a hobo smashing rocks together. Yeah, I had an incident where a hobo chased me down the street while he's cracked out going, keep running, I'm coming. And I'm like, yeah, guys, I'm sure the school resource officer will take care of us.
And see, things like that never happen to me because I'm just like, come on.
Yeah, I'm coming. Come and take it.
Come on.
The only person crazier than the hobo is me.
You can't take from the willing. Come on. Let me see what you're working with. Oh, man, crazy. And so also in the studio, we have my favorite libertarian.
Oh, well, thank you, Michael.
Absolutely.
You want your favorite libertarian?
He's my favorite. You're my favorite podcaster. He's my favorite libertarian.
There we go. Yeah, absolutely. Pleasure to be here, as always.
So what's the Libertarian Party up to this month?
This month, we've got our gubernatorial candidate, Mr. Mark Tippetts, has been going around.
Mark Tippetts, let me tell you. And I'm paying close attention to Mark Tippetts because this guy, you know, he's pro-Second Amendment, unlike, you know, some people who are saying, hey, you know what, I'm pro-Second Amendment, but I think we should have red flag laws, you know? We saw this week what the red flag laws really mean. We saw that in Florida, they have a red flag law in Florida. We also saw in Florida they raised the age limit to who can buy any firearm at all from 18 to 21. And we still saw one commit a shooting, kill several people. So those red flag laws, also raising the age limit, does nothing. Also in Maryland, this guy was from Maryland. So they have the age limit in Maryland. They have the laws in Maryland. And it did nothing to prevent that shooting at all. Mm-hmm. So we cannot legislate crazy. But yeah. So tell me good stuff about Mark Tippetts.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, he actually was he spoke out against the red flag laws at the hearing that they had there at the Capitol. So he's been going around the state doing awesome things, representing the party really well. He was here a couple weeks ago for Pride in Austin, as well as the marijuana policy conference. So Mark's been doing great. Our Senate candidate, Neil Dykeman, has been traveling around the state as well. So he's going to be facing off with Robert O'Rourke and Rafael Cruz in that Senate.
I wish they used their real names. My goodness. What is this Beto crap? And what is this Ted crap?
Yeah, I refuse to use their fake names. I'm going to call
Rafael.
Robert Francis O'Rourke. And Rafael Edward Cruz.
Is his name Rafael?
Yeah. That's his first name.
How did he become Rafael Cruz? I mean, I know I became Dingo, but I'm not ready for office. Like, how do you just become Ted?
Yeah, let me tell
you. It's not even an abbreviation.
We just run a spoofy internet show.
Yeah, but how do you get Ted from Rafael? Like, that's also where I'm lost.
Yeah, no, because his middle name's Edward, so
added Tedward.
Basically, Robert is a white guy appealing to the Hispanic population by using Beto. Oh,
right. And they're falling for the okie doke. Yeah. Let me tell you,
they are.
We haven't done anything for you, but we're going to do something for you this time. We've never done anything for you in the last 30 years, but I promise this time we're going to do something just for you.
Look, guys, we changed his name
because I changed my name.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I tell you. All right, so we have inside the studio. We got. Let's see. What's the name of the podcast? Because I'm not
Trigger Morning.
Trigger Morning. Oh. I gotta remember that. I got a young lady that's coming to see me. She's a Trigger Happy, and we're gonna talk about her a little later. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Hey, this is AWR Hawkins, Breitbart News. You're listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
Listen to Talk 1370 anytime, anywhere with the all-new radio.com app. Check your phone's app store or visit talk1370.com/app.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
I get knocked down. That's right. You get knocked down, you got to get back up again and get back into that fight. No matter what happens, don't let them get you down. All right, so we're talking about a lot today. You know what? We have in the studio, first of all, Trigger Morning. That's the name of the podcast. It's called Trigger Morning. We got Rob Jordan and Dingo Boy. And what's the howling? What is that?
I don't even know if dingoes howl. Aren't they marsupials or something? But I imagine them howling in my heart.
I don't even know what a dingo is.
It's like a dog-like creature from like what, Australia? Yeah.
It ate a baby once.
Dingo ate a baby.
Okay. Yeah. Well, first of all, let me check you because this is America. So I need an American dog.
No, we're broadcasting to the internet, so it's everywhere. All right, so get checked back.
Oh, nice. Okay. All right, so tell me, when it comes to the Second Amendment, you know, our problem in this country is the fact that we're not disciplining our kids, I think, is one of the big problem. And not just the Second Amendment, just anything. Children, the family is the problem. Parenting is the problem. Parents are not disciplining their kids. Whenever I look at the majority of situations online or different cases in court or different news story, I always say, I look at them and I say, you know what, man, that's going to be a parenting issue. You know, got to look at the parents. What's going on there? So, you know, so let me ask you, Dingo Boy, were you disciplined as a child?
Oh, yeah. I think we got into a little bit of that on the podcast, relaying the story about my karate sensei / philosophy tutor when I was about 8 years old. I used to be really rambunctious, and I used to just be that kind of mentality that I'd just poke at somebody until they got annoyed. And he just grabbed me by my heels one day and picked me up and just dunked me in the litter box for a good couple of minutes.
So he dunked you by your head in the litter box.
Yep. I think it did me some good. But
Well, let me ask Rob. So, Rob, were you disciplined as a child?
I was, but in a very different way.
How were you disciplined?
I would get kicked out of the house in like 20 degree weather, you know, and I would.
What did you do that would kick you out?
What would I do that?
Yeah, because you seem like, really laid back now.
I am. I've had a total change of.
So you were really hyper then.
Fighting with my brothers, sisters.
Just rotten to the core.
Absolutely.
Oh, he's still rotten to the core. Don't
is
worry.
He? Is he?
Yeah, he's just.
Is
he?
So what do you do? I mean, what did they do?
I'd get kicked out and I'd go wandering around El Paso, Texas, you know, for a while until it was just like, I can't take this anymore. I got nowhere to stay. It's, you know, either 106 degrees
like,
or it's
20 degrees.
Can I
come back home, please? Yeah, I promise I'll stop.
The elements disciplined you.
It took a few years of that, honestly. It was like 5 or 6
and
years.
And so you came online and now you behave.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're like, Mom, I love you. Mother's Day.
Yeah, absolutely. I talk to her every day.
Wow.
We have such a better
parents, if you discipline your kids, when they get older, they'll come back and they're like, hey, Mom, they'll call you later on down the road. But if you don't discipline them, once they get out of the house, they're not coming back.
Yeah, and I also think, like, again, I brought that up on the podcast. I just don't think that school, like, I never really went to school. I never set foot in a high school. I'd basically just dropped out and homeschooled myself with the internet. But I don't think that school is providing a good psychological development structure, because, and I think primarily that is that the people that you interact with on a yearly consistent basis aren't even the teachers. You even switch between teachers 8 times a day. It's your peers. It's your fellow students. So you don't have any wisdom really being passed down to you consistently, or people that are tracking your growth.
I disagree.
You disagree?
I wasn't homeschooled.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying it's a pure necessity, but I think it's one of those things where...
That's parenting. It goes back to parenting.
Of course. But I also don't think sending a kid 8 hours a day, 5 days a week out of the home, maybe both parents working, and then having essentially the kids raise each other, because that's what that turns into.
I don't know. Speak for yourself. I grew up in the hood, and it was the ghetto. We didn't have AC. And when we went to school, we had AC. I enjoyed school.
That's fair.
Because I had food. It was hot food. You know, we had AC. When I went home, you know, oh, my goodness, are we having dinner? I don't know.
Well, see, I think that could be replaced with other communal structures. And I think historically, see, I'm not religious, but I can recognize that historically the church played a big part of that role. You know, and I think that we've looked to the state to fulfill a role which it cannot fulfill.
Okay.
Part of it, too, is the way that the education system is designed, again, vis-a-vis the state, is it was designed back in a day where you had, you know, the assembly line. They were preparing kids to be assembly line workers. And that's not the case anymore. That's not the world we live in. So, in essence, it's public schooling is kind of designing kids to be tax and debt slaves. Yeah. You're going to go to college. You're going to get yourself in $50,000 to $200,000 in debt, depending on what you want to do. Then you're going to work a 9 to 5. Yeah. And I know it's going to be your life.
See, I know Rob agrees with me. So, Rob, you tell me, you know, you weren't homeschooled.
No, but I did drop out of high school. Like,
you're not gonna get me. I'm sorry. Yeah.
And next. Meanwhile, no, back at the ranch.
I went back, and I actually didn't go back to a public school. I went to a charter school, and I think that's actually where.
Why did you drop out of school?
I was getting in fights all the time. I was.
I just do not see this.
Yeah, it's hard to see.
I know.
You're just like the most. You're so quiet.
The duality of man, the yin and the yang.
I had piercings all over my face. You know, like black clothes is annoying. Like. Pants with like
typical
chains
school
on them.
Shooter.
Oh man, that's
kind of my point though. Is that
I call it like I see it.
We all got, I went. Oh man, I was an angry teenager too in a lot of ways, and I think that a lot of that is like psychological, even brain development. Like men tend to grow out of criminality by around 25. Like if you actually look at the crime statistics of when people are, especially males, are in their most like criminal prone behavior ages, it ends around 25 usually. And I think a big part of that is the school system doesn't actually address young, angry males in any capacity.
And see, well, you're triggering people right now, because now I got messages flashing at me.
Yeah,
someone saying, see, the problem
school.
Is right now, the majority of your shooters are white males. So what do you
oh,
say?
Wait, what is that?
They're flashing at me
right
now.
They're saying it's white male, but what does the race have to do with it?
I have no idea.
Don't white people make up the majority of this country?
I don't know. Do they?
And not only that. If you're talking about mass shooters, you're completely discounting the city of Chicago,
sure.
where
of course,
mass
yeah.
shooters are predominantly right. minorities.
Hey,
and they're...
No, nobody cares when it's oh, yeah. a black kid.
Don't
no.
say that. Don't say that.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Cut his mic, please.
It's only if you're getting separated at the border that the left starts to care about, you know, people of color. You know, it's yep. when they're getting murdered in the streets in Chicago yep. every weekend. Nobody cares.
There's not a good token narrative there, though. You know, when we're yeah. talking about kids at the border, it's like, oh,
you really don't have to go that far. You just go to, let's see, Ben White and Congress and look on the service road. You'll see little homeless camps there.
Mm-hmm.
And the mayor, Mayor Adler, is so busy going to El Paso to talk about people who are not even citizens. And he's not taking care of the people here in Austin. I mean, it's sad. I look on honestly, people, don't take my word for it. Just ride on Ben White. Just take a stroll on Ben White and go just between Congress and I-35. Look to your left, slightly to your right. Before the service road, just take a look on the side. You will see something that's amazing. It is sad. It is so sad. We have people suffering. They're living, and it's 100 degrees outside.
Oof.
Easily.
Yeah.
And it's 100 degrees and they're outside in the sun, no shade whatsoever, and they're living on the side of the highway. Right
yeah,
here in Austin.
That's
kind of
why
city.
I went back to the psychological role that at least on a societal level that religion used to play. And as we've moved away from religion, and again, I'm not religious, but it's fascinating to read. Buddhism is all rooted around suffering and a response to suffering.
So you're
in
Buddhist.
Many ways I get a lot of Buddhist philosophy, but I was also going to say Christianity addresses.
The way you sit in the chair, I can see you like, you know.
I got into meditating for a while. I think meditating is actually really good. Like emotional, like psychological grounding mechanism. If you can get into that state where your ego is no longer thinking, it's a wonderful place to be. You know, at least to give you that perspective. It's kind of like, you know, doing mushrooms or something like that, that makes you go, oh man, all the things that I think and talk myself into all day don't have to be true. But again, going back to it, I think that religion used to at least motivate people to address the suffering in their backyard now. And I think a lot of the neuroses you see on a political scale now is because people are trying to address it via grand narratives, you know, so they're trying to scale it up to everything. It's like, oh no, it's like, well, you know what? How about you just go help somebody that you see in pain?
Well, that's part of it too, is everybody's got a hero complex, especially with social media. So they're getting flooded and they're wanting to you know, comment on everything that occurs and have an opinion on every issue that's going on, but they're not looking in their own backyard and seeing if it's even in order. You know, you could be doing a ton for your community here in Austin. But
I mean, we spent $1 million on a library, millions of dollars on a library, and we have people that are sleeping on the side of the road.
Yeah, defund
in
those
the capital
libraries.
City.
But then, do you think it's the government? That's where I would be curious. Is do you think that the government should step in? See, for me, I really think we just need kind of a not a literal religious awakening, but a psychologically religious awakening to say, hey, you know what? If we don't want this stuff to happen, we should take the responsibility on us as individuals.
Well, then why bother talking about what's happening at the border in El Paso?
What do you mean? He brought that up a bit. But
yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, why should the mayor of Austin, Mayor Adler, then worry about what's happening in El Paso? You know,
well, I don't
people
think
that are
should.
Not even citizens.
That's, yeah,
of
that's
this
not
country.
His. That's not his job. He's. I mean, they're not even just not citizens of the country, but
they're not even citizens
of Austin.
Right.
They're
Austin.
Not, yeah, it's like it's
token
it's,
narrative, I mean, man. You gotta have one if you're.
Yeah,
a Democrat.
And that's why I worry that even on all sides of politics, I think we try to scale up, and I don't think humans are good at mentally scaling up, and I don't think we can even adapt to it, myself included. You know, I'm not trying to have the hubris of I understand all the problems. I think we can only really address things on a moderately sized tribal structure effectively. You know, you
right,
can
so,
only keep track
so
of
let's
a few
talk,
people
let,
at a time.
Let me ask Cal Austin, who's running for state representative. You know, Cal, you know, in a minute, can you tell me something?
So back when you were talking about that kind of like Great Awakening aspect, I'd like to say that I think that we need a philosophic Great Awakening.
Right.
One where, like you were talking about the ego earlier, I think that it's good to have a rational ego, one that you are self-aware of what you are factually, but then not to inflate that with lies or anything else like that, but that way you know where you are, and once you know where you are and you don't think that you're somewhere else, then you can actually try to go out and start to localize your values, like kind of realize what your values are and help out people that are a part of your values. Because if you find somebody like your friend, or like if you have a kid or your parents, your family, your friends, homeless people, any kind of like passion that you have, once you know where you are and you know exactly objectively where you are, you can start to then branch out and like really spread out your values to a degree much higher than if you're going to be lying about where you are with an inflated ego. That's not
rational. I think a lot of it is like a toxic ego can often stem from one that stems itself almost as existing as a discrete entity that will no longer grow. And I think that's kind of what you're saying with that philosophical awakening, is it's like people need to look outside of themselves. And I think like I got into I've always been kind of obsessed with philosophy, but I got into, you know, trying to understand really the extremes of where the human mind could go. So I read like radical people, like some of the school shooters, and a lot of it was there was a lot of intimate vulnerability in their writings. You know,
right, so hold that thought. So you know what, Mayor Adler, you got to think about what you're trying to do to
focus
me.
Focus on what's in front of you, Adler.
That's right. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Hello, this is Gerald Darty, and I'm the Precinct 3 County Commissioner here in Travis County, and you're listening to Come and Talk It.
Hey, Austin, wake up and fly right on Talk 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
All right, someone asked me, you know, why do you want to talk about John McCain? Well, because, you know, he was a senior senator for the state of Arizona. And this guy served a very long time. He served our country, you know, faithfully. So absolutely, we do need to talk about him because we lost, you know, someone that was, I think, did a lot of good things for the country. And, you know, just like Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul. I mean, that's a major loss all in the same week. So absolutely, we do need to think about those.
I actually would like to ask you real quick about that because you often, you strike me as very, even more of a libertarian, which I very rarely meet than I am in some ways. And see, I was never a big fan of McCain. I think like, he did a lot of the expansions of the wars, foreign wars. He was always, in my opinion.
That's right, because
like,
we had this argument the other day. The argument was, you said, what do you say? Well, you know.
I think we were talking about, we got off of the weeds about whether or not nuclear weapons should
right.
be owned by citizens. Yeah, and I'm torn because the philosopher in me who wants absolutes, you know, in a mathematical way of being like everyone should be free, wants to say yes. But then the engineer in me who understands that, you know, having multiple safeguards and procedures is probably a good idea when you're dealing with things that can blow up half a continent.
And my thing is, if you can't trust a regular citizen with a nuclear weapon, then we can't trust the government.
I don't know. Yes. But also no. Because
So if the government should be able to have nuclear weapons, then every citizen should be able to have them.
The government
is just
people.
If you can own it, then, you know, if you can buy it, then you should own it.
I'm just not convinced. Like, from an engineering point of view,
Rob Jordan.
I was just going to say, I've already heard this.
We already did this for like 50.
I'm just going to, let me set it straight. Michael thinks that we should own them. Dingo doesn't. That's the end of it. I want to know how this relates.
Lay it on the table.
I guess I'm just not enough of a libertarian purist. Like, somewhere in me,
calling your libertarianism in question.
Well, no, that's why I said I call it in question myself. The conflict in me is that the pragmatic, you know, reality based, like, okay, there are now weapons on the planet mm-hmm. that can blow up half of a continent. You know,
we've been through this. We said, you know, hey, then what if it's a Starship Enterprise or a spaceship and you have a phaser and you can fire that phaser at another ship? Then there's no difference. That person turned that phaser around and firing it at a planet and destroying a planet. You know, if the government should be able to have that, you know, that type of control. Then there's no reason why the people shouldn't have
I guess
it.
The idea is, like, at least individuals in the government can't do things unilaterally.
Go all the way back.
With, like,
take
nuclear
yourself
policy,
back.
You need multiple keys to turn. You need, like, multiple people to make the decision.
Let's go back to the 1800s and you say, okay, when the Constitution was written, you know, in that time frame, they had muskets. Also, not only did they have muskets, they also had machine guns.
But to me,
that's
exactly where the theoretical.
That was the most powerful
that.
Weapon that we knew of
but
at the time.
That's laying the argument at it, just the idea of it being the most.
And then
powerful.
We also, here's what we also discussed. Remember that cannon on Congress?
But a cannon is still discriminatory. You aim and
describe
you shoot
the cannon
at something.
On Congress.
The
there's a young lady.
Yeah, there's a woman on canyon
a woman
Congress
on Congress
who used
Avenue.
A cannon to fight off the Mexican army. And I completely agree with that.
That's right.
Like, and I would that's why it's like,
and because of this young lady, this is the reason why Austin is still the capital of Texas.
I would be for owning cannons. I would be for owning rocket launchers,
because a regular
automatic
citizen,
weapons.
A
the only place
female,
where, as an engineer, as somebody who studied chemistry and the understanding of how long these weapons poison environments, and also that they have no discriminatory basis. For the most part, they just blow up and irradiate a massive area. That maybe that is the where I could get. And same thing with like bioweapons.
The government shouldn't be able to have it.
Well, that's where I'm torn, because we've given the federal government as like a pure. Now, I think the federal government is way overgrown. We talked about that. So, you know, I don't want to be casted as someone who's like pro federal government. I'm libertarian on 99% of the fronts. But we've given the federal government the authority for national defense. I mean, that was one of the original reasons the federal government exists. And so they're there to confront other societies that is, while we may be libertarian, philosophically pure, those other societies don't care. They're going to have nukes. So our federal government needs to be able to confront them. And that's where the libertarian and the pragmatist in me, you know, comes into conflict, is because there's two conflicting principles. And I agree, the jury's not out, but I think I would fall on the side.
Sounds like to me, you just need to go home tonight and just play with the left and the right hand and figure out what you're going to do.
I think I err on the side of I would be, I think, okay, like if it came down to me to make the decision, I would be okay with amending the Second Amendment for the purpose of making absolute clarity about what exact classes of weapons can be restricted. Because I'm very disturbed of the encroachment.
None.
Like, yeah, and so you're none.
I'm like, give me all. I
want
to have access to everything.
I would say indiscriminate max, like, massive yield weapons.
If the government can own it, I want it.
Well, that's, I get that position.
A tank.
Yeah, a tank, yeah. I'm not against tanks. I'm talking about massive yield indiscriminate weaponry.
Surface-to-air missile.
I'm fine with that. I'm talking
nuclear.
About, That's where, see, that's where I'm like,
because of the way Dingo just tramples all over our freedoms. Yeah, we just want it. Nuclear weapons. Is that so much to ask for?
I just want a world where I can have a recreational nuke and just live freely.
I'm just going to go out to the nuclear range real quick.
Stand by. Exactly. I don't see what's wrong with it. Give me all. I want it all. I want it all. Okay. All right. So, what else were we talking about? I totally forgot now.
McCain.
Yeah. McCain. Yeah,
McCain to nukes.
Yeah, because I kind of challenged you. I was like, you keep talking McCain up. You were talking McCain up and be like, he's honorably served. And I was like, I think he's one of the people that was kind of a chameleon and was kind of anti-libertarian. He made the military state a lot worse. He voted for the foreign wars. He was in my, if I'm remembering correctly, he voted for like things like the NDAA. Didn't he vote for the Patriot Act?
Absolutely. Yeah, and he also wanted a war with Iran. He said bomb Iran, war hawk
all day. And that's why I was like, as a libertarian, as somebody who's like, we should be able to own nukes, like you're saying, like I agree that he honorably served in the military. I'm not calling all that into question, but I feel like you're going a little easy on McCain. Yes, he's dead, but we're all going to be dead one day. You know, we're not going to escape that. So I'm just challenging you on this. I'm challenging you on your own show, though.
Trigger
so lay
morning.
Me out. Lay me out, Cargill. Lay me out.
Send all those little hate messages to Trigger Morning.
Yeah, send them in. Don't get triggered, guys.
We'll take any mail at this point, though, please.
Right. Trigger Morning.
Triggermorningpodcast@gmail.com. Please.
There you go. It wasn't Michael. Oh, man, you're killing me right now. All right, so...
You're gonna let that lay? You're just gonna get called out on your own show like that, Michael? Put me down like a dog.
Oh, I'm just gonna lay you out there and just leave it hanging and change the subject altogether. Silence. Just total silence right there.
So I guess as libertarians, we've both got some conflict in us, huh?
That's okay. All right, so, you know, what goes through a person's head, you know, and I know this guy's gonna get, the Uber driver's gonna get fired. I'm convinced of that.
Yeah, I think that's against a policy that you're not supposed to be carrying in your vehicle.
Yeah, yeah, and the sheriff.
You know how that ended, right?
Did you guys look at the video, the interview
I did.
The sheriff
gave?
Oh,
no. I watched the
actual
video.
Oh, my God, the sheriff? Oh, yeah, he was heartless. The sheriff comes out, and he holds up a picture, and he says, this idiot, you know, something to that sort. Yeah. You know, it's just like, this guy, you know, he sends text messages. You know, apparently he was... He got the wrong vehicle. So basically what happened, I think what happened was that the guy's girlfriend helped some stranger into an Uber get a ride home. And so this lady was totally drunk in the back of the Uber. So the boyfriend just got the wrong vehicle, thought his girlfriend was in that vehicle, which she was not, and cut off the vehicle, ran the Uber off the road, had a cell phone in his hand, jumps out of his car, goes up to the vehicle and says, hey, I got a gun, I'll shoot you. And he also sent text messages making threats, you know, saying that, hey, he was going to do something to the Uber driver if he didn't pull over. And the Uber driver, of course, pulled out a gun, ended up shooting this guy. And so the sheriff was just, he was heartless. I mean, he's just like, look, don't do it. If you don't want to wind up like this guy here, then don't get out of your vehicle. And I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I totally agree from like the point of view of like play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm curious from like a purely legal point of view as the laws exist right now. I didn't see the video, so I could be totally like I'm not talking from a super informed position. Do you think the guy was justified? Because to me, it sounds
questionable if all the guy said.
Yeah, but
you
the guy didn't
stand your ground from class.
Yes, but he didn't produce a weapon.
If you have a right to be there, you're not committing the crime.
Yeah,
you don't provoke that person, then you have a right to stand your
ground.
Right,
and the kind of thing I'm questioning isn't the stand your ground. I totally agree with stand your ground. It's that, like, do you think he was credibly in fear for his life just on saying, like, I'll shoot you without producing a weapon? Did the guy make a move or anything?
Yes, he pulled out a cell phone. He pointed the cell phone at the guy, but at the time,
he thought it was a gun.
It looked like a gun.
Oh, that's fair then.
When
okay,
you look
that's
at the video,
totally,
yeah, you look at the video really quick, it looks like.
Yeah, my understanding was that he just verbally was like, hey, I'm going to kill you, man.
No,
and then he shot him.
He was like this. He pointed his hand, he extended his arm and said, you know, I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah, that's a split second decision. That makes sense. You don't pull something out that is in your hand and say, okay, totally justified.
Oh, yeah.
Glad we cleared that up.
He won Idiots and Stupid Prize of the Year there because he's gone. He's history. And it's sad, you know, but yeah, you definitely should stay in your vehicle. Stay in your vehicle. Don't get out of your vehicle. Don't put yourself in certain situations and things like that. What were you going to say, Rob Jordan?
No, actually, what's the... you know, will he face charges because he got out of his vehicle? I mean,
oh, he's dead.
No, the other guy, the Uber driver.
Uber driver stayed inside of his vehicle.
He wasn't forced out or anything.
The Uber driver never got his vehicle. He stayed in his vehicle, and then the guy approached him. It happened.
He shot through the window.
It literally, and I tell people this in class, this will be, if you ever have to use your firearm, it will be 15 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds that would change your life forever. Mm-hmm. You know, that's it. And it happened just that quick. I want to say it was like 15 seconds, and it was all over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what makes it so hard with the like a lot of the police cases where people say, oh, he was unarmed. But then you watch the video, and he made like really fast movements, like he was pulling something out. It's like these are decisions that happen immediately. So it's like when it comes to confrontations, whether it be with police officers, civilians, be civil. You know, check your ego at the door because you never know when it's going to be your last day on the planet.
Especially in Texas.
This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Chloe Alnoir, and you're listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're talking about a lot today. And I want to ask my guests in the studio, you know, should we free the weed? You know, because we just talked about Austin and some of the problems that we have here in Austin, Texas. We talked about some of the people that are living out in 100-degree weather on the streets. But there is possibly a way that we can actually help some of those people if we actually legalize marijuana. And this next Texas legislative session, you know, maybe we should look into decriminalizing or legalizing marijuana and actually taxing it so that way we can possibly lower or eliminate property taxes or that triple net, that franchise tax, you know, either lower that or eliminate some of that stuff altogether and then actually, you know, provide some assistance or some help to people that are in need. You know, to get them, you know, off their feet and push them along, not continue assistance, but at least to give them a lift up, give them some help. So what do you guys, you know, thoughts on that? You know, should we legalize weed and should we tax it or what?
I think we should let the libertarian and the guy running for office jump on that one.
You want to go first, guy?
Yeah, sure. Why not? So in my eyes, when you're talking about should this thing be legal and it's just property, then it's a question of property rights. And I think that we were talking earlier about changing the Second Amendment, and I think the most effective way to defend guns would be if you were to change the Second Amendment, you would change it to a property rights amendment, and you just say it's legal to own property, and the only thing that would be illegal is actions that would infringe upon the rights of others. Owning something at your home, consuming it, selling it, producing it, does not infringe upon the rights of anybody else. It does not initiate force upon anybody else. I don't see a reason why it should be illegal. If anything, allowing people to have property rights to that kind of extent is only going to help the economy. That's just a side effect that shouldn't be a reason why it should be legal, but it's just going to be a beneficial side effect anyway. So I'm completely for property rights. I don't think that having those kind of property rights would be any kind of infringement upon anyone else's rights. What were your thoughts?
Well, I was just going to say, I'd like to see decriminalization as opposed to legalization. I just want any trace of marijuana, cannabis, whatever it's going to be referred to, removed from the penal code, and therefore it's just not going to be a crime anymore. I don't like the idea of taxing. I don't like the idea of taxation in any way, shape, or form. So I don't think that's in any way surprising. But I have no doubt if it would have even been fathomable at the time that the Founding Fathers would have put in the Constitution that you are allowed to grow plants on your property and consume them and use them in any way, shape, or form you see fit. I have no doubt that if that was a thought that crossed their mind that the government would ever infringe on that right, they would have written it in. But I think it was just so out of context and such an idea that didn't seem plausible in any way, shape, or form. That's why it's not written in the Bill of Rights there.
I mean, I think that's pretty much sums it up. I'm pretty completely libertarian on this. I guess, like, the only curiosity I have is, what do you mean by legalization versus decriminalization? You just want it gone. What would you consider to be legalization, I guess is the question.
Legalization would say that you're now able to legally use and consume and purchase marijuana. There's going to be regulations onto where you can do that, who you can get it through, what kind of licenses and fees they're going to have to pay as a producer of that to sell it to you. Whereas decriminalization just removes any punishment for use of or carrying or growing or anything.
What about an age limit?
I was just going to ask that.
I would be okay with it being treated like alcohol in that regard, but at the same time, also there's such the medical benefits to it, especially with children with epilepsy. It gets into a really, really gray area.
But yeah. I think with a doctor, you should be able to use just about any substance you want that the doctor and you know, agree on.
But there are negative effects, I think, in children who use marijuana before the age. It's like 25, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, your brain's not done developing structurally until you're about 25.
Your spine and all that doesn't...
And from my understanding, this was research from a few years ago that might have updated since then, but from my understanding, the areas of the brain to do with, like, short-term memory and the, like, specifically the limbic systems can be affected in the size and shape when you do a lot of marijuana at a young age.
No, I totally get that. I guess then at that point, I would say probably 18. If you're legally allowed to be viewed as an adult, then...
Yeah, if you can join the military and you can get, you know...
Okay, hold on, I'm stuck. It makes you stupid at 12, it's going to make you stupid at 18.
Well, no, it's like the earlier the worse, essentially, is like your brain, because think of it this way, it's a chemical that actually affects your endocannabinoid system, which there's endocannabinoid systems all throughout the body, but a lot of them are really crucial to the actual like development of certain brain regions that deal with like short-term memory and emotionality.
Right.
And so if you're taking that when your brain is growing really rapidly in your teen years, then you're going to have more effect on that growth. You know, or if you take it in your, you know, early 20s, it's from my understanding, it's not going to have as much of an effect as if you take it consistently when you're 12, you know? It's like, think about how fast even just size, like outside of the brain, how fast children grow versus adults, you know? You might squeeze in another inch around 20, but overall, you're not going to be like, you know, sprouting up.
Okay. And all that said, I think we're pretty, you know, we're for it. I mean,
oh, yeah, I'm totally for it. That was just
I never thought of the distinction between legalizing and decriminalizing, though.
The only argument I would have for legalizing versus decriminalizing in some aspect of a positive affirmation
free
in the
weed.
Law would be to create a somewhat of a legal crisis, a constitutional fight between the federal and state government to try and get the federal laws off the books.
States' rights.
Because if you don't have anything on the books on the states, then it's... Still seems like the federal government still has... I would like to see that conflict more between states and the federal government to actually force the fight.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
What do you think?
Well, so you mentioned state versus federal, and I see that as one government versus having another government look over. I'm all about individual rights. I'd rather just see legalization across the board. Just it's property.
Yeah, that's why I agree. So, that's why it's like I would like the states to
legalize.
I don't want
the states to then be the ones to say, oh, you can't have it in this state. Yeah. And it's like, oh, well, I want to live in this state, but it's got these 6 out of 10 things that I like. And then this other state has these 4 out of 10 things. I don't want to have to like move because some states decide to infringe them on my natural individual rights.
I mean, from a purely libertarian point of view, I totally agree. But then from a point of view of I'd like government to kind of be like a buffet, I would prefer the states to have more control than less.
I would then have freedom
to
choose. Right, yeah.
You know, with your feet.
Because it's definitely better. Then, so state versus federal, I'd rather have state be the one to choose. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to take it from the stance of a liberal and say, you know what? I don't think you should do it because, you know what? It's bad for you. And
well,
I'm going to tell you, that it's bad for you. And I don't want you to do it because I think it's bad for you.
Well, I think on both sides, whether it be really conservative or really liberal, you know, how about we just stop telling each other in an authoritative faction what's bad and good? Like, I can advise, like, I used to smoke pretty frequently. I stopped, about a year ago, and I'm glad I did it, honestly. But I'm also glad I stopped. Like, I think that it is a good thing to do maybe in your mid-20s. I think it can actually because I think even just the idea of having a substance.
I don't do it, never done it, you know, and I shouldn't say never, but I don't do it because just, I don't like that feel.
Well, and that's fine. It's not that you have to do it. It's one thing that, like, I would suggest as an experience. Like, to me, it expanded my consciousness. And I don't mean literally, like, I could see things. It expanded my ego, in a sense. Just the idea. Like, I used to have a really strong, strong sense of self. But just that realization that taking a chemical, well, all of a sudden, the song sounds different. Whoa, this food tastes different. And we mentioned this on our show, is that I think it actually added to my ability to understand empathy in the sense that not just, oh, we experience the same emotions, but everybody in this room, because of their slightly different brain chemistry, is probably experiencing slightly different emotions. So I think a little bit of dabbling in a responsible way in psychoactive compounds can be useful. But then you can make a religion out of it and be like, dude, the mushrooms told me, man.
Yeah, everything in moderation, for sure. But I agree, and I think it's to your point, Michael, is that's fine if you think that it's bad for me and you think I shouldn't be doing it. You don't get to initiate force against me.
Yeah, don't
me
have
to
a bunch of guys kick down your door
it.
And be like, give me all those plants.
So that's what's happening. Well, I mean, that's where we are today, because we're at the point where certain people don't like things that certain people are saying, sort of like Facebook. It's like, you know what? Someone doesn't like what you're saying. Instead of them unliking your page or unfriending you, they're like, you know, we're going to silence you. That person has the controls in their hands. They have the choice to either not like your page, not friend you,
block you
so they can't see you. Exactly. But instead of them taking the controls in their hands and say, you know what, I want to make sure I don't see that, they just want to make sure that you're silent. And that's
a
problem.
I think it's kind of the hubris of the intellectuals thinking that, oh, these are dangerous ideas and impressionable people are going to get a hold of them. It's like, yeah, there's some truth to that, but all ideas are dangerous. I mean, once upon a time, Galileo's realization that the Earth was round and we, you know, that the universe didn't orbit the Earth, that was a dangerous idea. I mean, sharing ideas is inherently dangerous.
Well, and life is dangerous in general.
No, it's not.
And
life is
I'm Austin, Texas.
I'm gonna live forever. I'm never gonna die.
And you need to constantly be.
Have you ever seen these people on downtown on these scooters? Life is great in Austin. Well, scooters all over the place. I mean, they're going like. I've seen people yesterday. I was on Congress, and I was at Reddit Congress, and I forget the cross street, and I was getting ready to cross over the Congress Bridge there. And this guy was going down Congress as fast as he possibly could on the scooter. And then he made a left turn and he went head on. He was on his cell phone talking to someone and he almost ran head on to with a car. I'm like, man, it's only a matter of time before someone kills himself on one of these scooters.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to happen.
It's going to be amazing.
Been in the herd, guys. Been in the herd.
Been in the herd. Because they're... No regulation whatsoever. No one cares. They're just like, they're just running up and down Congress, you know, down 6th Street, you know, on these little scooters as fast as they possibly can and with no control whatsoever. It's just a matter of time. I'm just waiting. I just hope it's on Facebook Live when that
No, I mean, it is going to happen. But kind of back to what you were saying as well, if you're pushing this dangerous idea underground and trying to silence it, that's going to give validity to it in the eyes of a lot of people well. Why is this thing so dangerous that they don't want me to know what it is?
Yeah, we were talking actually, Michael, a little bit about that, about bump stocks, where people want them just because they're banned.
Right. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Brittany Glaze, and I get my global gun news from Michael Cargill on Come and Talk It.
Sound off on the news of the day with a talk poll online at talk1370.com. Talk 1370, the right choice. Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so, you know, I was going to talk about a little bit more about Aretha Franklin. But we honestly, we had a chance to say goodbye to her this week because it was 10 hours long. Yeah. The funeral was 10 hours long.
I didn't watch
long.
It. You know,
oh, it was 10. I went to work. It was on. I went home. It was still on. 10-hour funeral.
What were they doing? What do you do at a 10-hour funeral?
It was a lot. Everyone that got up to speak, they gave a eulogy.
Oh, man.
Literally everyone.
I would
you're talking 45 minutes.
I just
would have
canceled my speech halfway and be like, never mind.
She was eulogized at least 15 to 20 times. And then, you know, performers, the music was great. I mean, it was like it was a free concert.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. It really was. It was
and
nice.
Who
it was a gold casket. She had a gold casket. She was laying a red dress with red shoes on with her legs crossed in the casket.
Well, do you think that kind of treatment of celebrities is warranted? Do you think? I mean, it's a free country, so people can. But what do you think about that?
She's the queen of soul.
Yeah. All right, fair enough.
She's an icon. Absolutely. Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. It's just a way of, you know, for people to say goodbye.
Yeah, and showing respect to somebody that had such a cultural footprint. I totally, I understand that.
And she's been through, you know, she's lived through so many different decades, and she's been there and at some key points and key turns, you know, of our country. So, and she's, you know, she's always been there, standing on the stage, singing that song. You know, at certain points. So it was, I think it was fitting, you know, to say goodbye the way they did. So I thought that was good.
Do you mind if I ask a quick question of the libertarians in the room? I mean, I am a fellow libertarian, I think most of our discussion today has kind of revolved around libertarianism. And, you know, as a candidate and also somebody that works in the kind of the official political structure, what do you guys think that the libertarians can do to stop being so irrelevant in a sense?
Ooh,
that's something that we're trying very. We're trying really hard to get more exposure, doing our best that we can there, putting forward great candidates. Like I said, our gubernatorial candidate is doing great going around. They've actually, we put enough pressure on the debate commission that they've said, okay, if you can meet this fundraising threshold, you'll get to participate in the debate as well. So doing stuff like that. I mentioned earlier off air that our gubernatorial candidate in New York is going to be on the Joe Rogan podcast, a man by the name of Larry Sharp. He's making big waves. So part of it's people are becoming more interested, especially after 2016. So it's a word that people aren't necessarily as unfamiliar with as they were 2 years ago. So that's part of it. Trying to put a good face out there, trying to let people know that, yeah, just like every other party, we've got our crazies. Ours seem a little bit louder because we're smaller, so they get a lot more attention than the rest of us.
And libertarianism, myself included, tends to attract the eccentric types, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And we love them. Yeah. I love our crazies.
All the founding fathers were pretty eccentric.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They did dueling in the street.
Yeah, yeah. Hamilton got killed in duel.
Seriously. Literally, they were dueling each other in the street. You had a vice president. Was it a vice president that was killed?
One of the key authors of the Constitution. Yeah. So that's kind of the main thing is consistently staying on our message, which I think we have the best message. We're also cursed by being consistent.
Yeah.
Which is really easy to be attacked on by both the right and the left.
Yeah, that's where I think that libertarianism, and it's kind of like when we were talking about the nuclear weapons, where it's like most people think it's pragmatic not to have nuclear weapons, but because libertarians are so uncompromising from it, I would say that the main political parties are less motivated by really clear-cut, like rationally defined philosophical principles. Mm-hmm. And I think it can make libertarianism a little unapproachable. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, I think that libertarianism has done a really poor job of reaching out to young people. I think it could be a really young, rebellious political philosophy, and it could make waves in the way that progressivism unfortunately has. But I don't think that libertarianism has like had effective even online outreach or in colleges or anything where they're actually getting young people together and go, man, like maybe we should scale back the government, you know, burn it all down.
And that's kind of part of it, too, is we do have a very much older party. The median age is definitely going to be, you know, kind of around the boomer period, a little bit younger than that. So we're starting to get more young people that are getting involved and have energy and are reaching out in these different platforms. And part of the biggest reason, too, and part of why I try to get out as much as I can is absolutely we have been defined by the other two parties. And I'm very tired of it. I'm very tired of being told on TV or, you know, whatever form of media that, oh, here's a Republican talking about what a libertarian is. Oh, here's a Democrat talking about what a libertarian is. I want us getting out there. I want us talking about ourselves. To be the ones like, no, this is what a libertarian is. I'm a libertarian. This is what we are. We're not what they're saying we are. So,
no, I totally agree. All right, well, I guess since you guys are in the mix, I would just reach out to young people more. That would be my only piece of advice. You know, really focus on the people that are actually going to come in and you know, make the waves.
All right, so tell me, what are your thoughts on the Ghost Gunner and the 3D printing and what Cody Wilson is doing? Because Cody came out this week. Well, actually, a judge said, you know what? Defense distributed, Cody Wilson, you cannot give away the plans to 3D printing. So you can't give them away. So then Cody came back the next day and say, okay, since I can't give them away, I'll sell them. So basically some people said, hey, I buy it for 0 cents or I'll buy the plans for a dollar or a penny or whatever. And so now he's selling the blueprints to firearms. What are your thoughts on that?
You asking anybody in particular or just...
No, just anybody. What are your thoughts on it? Well, the whole 3D printing, Ghost Gunner,
Michael
Ghost Gunner 2.
Michael kind of schooled me a little bit on it on our podcast because I didn't really see the point because those guns break down in like, you know, after a use, two uses, you know, but
they're not reliable.
Right, but what you had said was that we need to let the government know that you can't, you know, put a tamp on this. You can't...
It's about the First Amendment.
Right.
Code is speech.
You can't own own letters and numbers on a screen.
Yeah, and on that front, like I guess for me, from the principled point of view, I'm totally in Cody's corner, like 100%. Is it from a pragmatic point of view? I think it's totally like the issue is a little overblown where technology is now. It's like those guns fall apart. You know, you can shoot once with the actual ones that are completely 3D printed. Mm-hmm. And when people are like, you can 3D print an AR-15, it's like, no, you can 3D print a lower receiver, which is essentially the hunk of plastic that houses the hammer. And that is it. All of the combustion, everything that goes boom and the bullets fly out of is still made out of metal. That's the upper receiver.
Well, and you have to be competent enough to put it together. So you got to spend the thousands of dollars on the 3D printer. Right. You got to be competent enough to put it together. It would still just be easier to go through the process of buying a gun.
Yeah, or making it in a metal shop. Like, we're not at a point yet with 3D printers where you can make some crazy high-density plastic where you can sustain nonstop explosions in it. That's just not there yet.
All right. And so, and also, this week, a lot of people were upset at Meghan McCain because they're giving her a hard time because the way she, I guess, admonished or the way she talked about the current administration doing the eulogy of her father, John McCain. And so my thing is, she's not an elected official. She's not elected into office. So if she wants to go up and give a eulogy of her father and mention the White House or, you know, indirectly or whatever, or, you know, talk about her father, that's her right to do that. That is, you know, her father's funeral. She can say whatever she wants. She's not an elected official. She's not a politician. She's a regular citizen who has a right to say whatever she wants and use whatever medium she wants, you know, just whatever words or whatever.
Yeah, I think we overhype things and don't give people allowances. Even, I mean, it's your father's funeral. If she wants to go up there in a chicken outfit and have a mental breakdown and cluck,
she can.
You can. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, people. Like, I don't know. I think we've turned everything political. I think we've turned it into the way we treat, like, reality TV, where we get on people's teams, and then we're like, you know, like, it's like back when Twilight was out and all the teenage girls are like, Team Jacob, Team Edward. We've done that with the people that have their fingers on the nuclear weapons that the government owns.
Yeah, people love nothing more than in 2018 than to be offended. Yeah. And that's everybody
and
across
to be involved,
the political
like,
spectrum.
Drama.
Yeah.
And somebody else's drama.
And it's annoying.
The oppression Olympics is here.
Yes.
The oppression Olympics. And we're doing that with everything. You know, Facebook is doing this. You know, Twitter is doing this. When they don't like what someone is saying, you know, we're, you know, banning or blocking or, you know, just stopping speech. And I think that's a problem. That's going to be a problem with society. That's going to be a problem with this next election that comes up. You know, we're having an issue where we're allowing social media to actually control this election. We're all talking about Russia, 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 but Facebook and Twitter, they're doing a lot worse than what Russia has done.
And in worst case scenario, like, I don't understand, like, if there was some actual illegal, like, criminal Nixon-style collusion, sure, prosecute that. But I don't know why everyone's unhappy or even unsuspecting that Russia and China and everybody in the world is going to jump on Facebook and try to influence the election of the most powerful militaristic country in the entire planet. Like, isn't that just a given? I mean, Facebook's not American. It's global. Billions of people are on it. Of course Russia's going to jump on there and be like, here's who you should vote for.
Well, not only that, it's we interfere in other elections across the globe all the time,
yeah.
Usually violently. So
oh, yeah.
If this is what's going to happen, if this is the worst that Russia's going to do, I'll take that over over the violence that we impart on
people.
Well,
to me, though, it's like Russia is a foreign country, and if the United States is a democratic republic and the seat of power is supposed to be the people, then who else is Russia supposed to try and influence than the American people? You know, to me, it's kind of an oxymoron when you really, like, drop down to the theory of American government. They're supposed to try and influence our elections. They're supposed to negotiate with us through memes.
And their interference was exposing the truth about the DNC, let's be honest.
Yes.
What were you going to say, Rob? Because you were leaning forward.
No. I mean, I just think that whatever the Russians are doing is deeply seated, though, because I'm not on Facebook and I still voted for Donald Trump. What are they doing?
They got in your mind, man. Yeah. They're in your subconscious, bro.
Yeah.
It's the mushrooms, dude.
It's funny because if you're that weak of a person that you allow someone to influence you, you know, without you doing the research, then that's on you. You know, shame on you. Do the research, get involved in what's going on, know what's happening around you, and make an informed decision. You know, if you don't do that, then hey, shame on you. I didn't vote for Donald Trump. I actually voted for Gary Johnson. So, you know, but I support him now. And the reason I support him is because he's getting so much flack, and things are I see things going pretty good. I see some of the things that he's doing. I see what he's trying to do, he's trying to kickstart some of these different companies by stopping certain things from happening and other countries taking advantage of us. So absolutely, you know, I'm all for it in what he's doing. As always, more guns equals less crime. Go out there and buy yourself a gun. You've been listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
Keep your change.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.